When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. All right, everybody, it is indeed a feel-good football Friday in the nation's capital, huh? How about that? How do you like them apples? And I like this. I'm so low on this side of the glass. I needed this break. When does sitting in an hour and a half of traffic because nobody can drive on a Friday morning and coming to work, when a lot of people are knocking off for a week and a half, 2 weeks, when does that feel good? Well, the easy answer is when I'm all alone on this side of the glass. Matty Ice is here. Matty Ice is here. I love working with him.
Can I tell you a little quick story, a little funny story?
Absolutely. I'm all about funny stories. You know me. I'm the life of the party.
So my sister is, this isn't the funny story part. My sister's in town from LA, okay, and she decided to go visit our grandmother yesterday during the middle of the day just to surprise her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't like driving in silence, she was like, you know what, let me turn on the radio. And she just so happened to turn it on right at about 2:10, 2:15.
Mm.
And for some reason, she was like, wow, this sounds like they're talking about the Eagles versus the Commanders in the crowd size. But these two guys are crazy. She was like, I hope that this isn't the show that Matthew has to produce. Otherwise, I understand why he comes home and just goes, ugh. I got to be like, nope. You listen to the show.
That's it. That's what I get paid to listen to.
That's why I came home and laid on the ground.
Oh, yeah, my head was hurting after the last 2 days. I got to be honest with you. So, anyway, we're very happy to be all alone on this side of the glass. I'll just say that.
Just us.
Just you and... all right. Well, we'll leave it at that. Unless you want to like drop in a Bronny James update right in the middle of a football conversation, we could do that. We could do that. Boy, oh boy. My head was pounding last night. I honestly really did not want to watch the Thursday night game. And as a result, I think I fell asleep around 8:30. And didn't wake up until the second half of the Thursday night game. I understand I can watch it on TV. It's hard to program and rig, and it's just a pain in the ass. So a lot of times I watch Thursday night football on my phone. I put the game on, and I fell asleep. And no disrespect to the Denver Broncos or the Los Angeles Chargers. It turned out to be a pretty good game. It didn't have any impact on the Commanders, but it wasn't a bad game by any stretch. And the Chargers win over the Broncos. And the reason why I'm leading off with this game in particular, A, because it's the most recent, but it's going to feed us into something that I think is not getting any mention. I mentioned it the other day. My co-host at the time got very upset. but something I think is going to be a very realistic possibility and something we're all going to be chirping about on Monday. So I wanted to start with the Thursday night game to bring you into the fold, okay? And you'll understand where I'm going with this in a sec. So last night, for those of you watching the game, and I thought this was really, really interesting because, as usual, I'm on the opposite side of the analytics amigos. Surprise, shocker. And I'm telling you, even though I'm going to look wrong, as is Sean Payton, it was the right decision. And here's what I mean by that. Now, the final score in this game was 34-27, right? The Broncos kicked a 55-yard field goal to give themselves a shot. Onside kick. We know nobody really recovers onside kicks anymore. Los Angeles recovered, and they won the game. And, you know, they sat on it. Justin Herbert ran backwards. Boy, if you had him in fantasy, and that got you negative points, and you lose your matchup by a point, 2 points, oh, my God, would that just drive you absolutely insane? And then he lofted a bomb up in the air to kill the rest of the clock. But in this particular game, after the Chargers take a 34-24 lead on a six-play, 90-yard drive, again, Denver's a good defense for the most part. They are not a great defense. They got shredded by Jameis Winston in Cleveland a couple of weeks ago. Remember, at home last night, they had 11-point leads twice. They gave up long drives. The second half was dominated mostly by the Chargers. Again, the Chargers open up a 10-point lead on a six-play, 90-yard drive in 2 minutes. In 2 minutes, okay? They gave up a couple, obviously, big plays. One on a Gus Bus run for 40, I think it was 42 up the middle or whatever it was. And that's late, right? So here's where I wanted to go with this. So Sean Payton before that drive, it's actually 27-24 Chargers. So the Broncos are down. The Broncos are facing a 4th and 6 at the Denver 49, so midfield, right? But slightly on their side of the field. 4th and 6, down 3, with 4 minutes and 35 seconds left to go. Plenty of time. You got your timeouts. I think they had all three. They did have all three. Plenty of time. So Sean Payton on 4th and 6 at midfield decides to punt. 41 yards, Riley Dixon, fair catch, and the Chargers take over at their 10-yard line. And the Chargers, again, proceed to go on a 90-yard drive in 6 plays. And I have to read on ProFootballTalk.com this morning, and I have to read about how the analytics bot said the Broncos should go for it on 4th and 6 from their 49 with 4:35 left to go in the game and all of your timeouts with a notoriously conservative offense devoid of big-time wide receivers, but a quarterback that's crafty, very talented, but a quarterback that's banged up in Justin Herbert. No J.K. Dobbins. Gus Edwards. People, let me tell you this. If anybody thinks that was the wrong move, the wrong coaching decision by Sean Payton, you don't understand football. You have no clue what you're talking about. And I'm sorry for all the analytics amigos, all the number nerds. You're wrong, and you're wrong again. You're wrong. You're dead ass wrong to force the Chargers to go 90 yards with a 3-point lead with 4 minutes and 35 seconds left in all of your timeouts, meaning the Broncos, is the absolute right decision. If it's 4th and 1, different argument. If it's 4th and 2, different argument. Even if it's 4th and 3, different argument. It's 4th and bleeping 6. And I got to hear about how the analytics, the 4th down stupid-ass bot machine said, oh, they got to go. They should go. Really? Really? When did the stupid-ass bot machine play football? When did the stupid bot machine have any idea about common sense? When? When? I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering. Well, the answer is never. Ever, 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 ever did the stupid bot machine play football. Never. And the point being is, this shouldn't even be a debate if the Denver Broncos aren't Swiss cheese on defense against a pedestrian offense. This shouldn't even be a thing. And yet here we are. Here we are saying, did Sean Payton screw up? Did Sean Payton really do that? Did Sean Payton hang his team out to dry? Yeah, we're doing that. Some are doing that. Not anybody with any common sense. Just people that go by analytics and go by stupid bots and simply base their decision process on results, one, and two, again, what a computer that has never played the game, what a math formula that has never, ever, ever considered nuance and context, as we always talk about, too much probably on this show. And yet, we have to talk about Sean Payton being an idiot because he had the audacity to punt on 4th and 6 at midfield with 4 minutes and 35 seconds left and all 3 timeouts left, down 3. Oh my God, Sean Payton, you suck. You're terrible. You're awful. How dare you? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I understand the Denver defense was not good in the second half. Got it. You're not asking them to defend 60 yards of field. You know what you are? If you go for it and don't make the 4th and 6 at midfield, you're asking them to then defend 52 yards of field position or 15 yards for an extra field goal attempt from Cameron Dicker, who's actually been pretty decent this year. And to make it a 6-point game instead of a 3-point game, or half the field for the Chargers to get the go-ahead touchdown, or not the go-ahead touchdown, but essentially the game-sealing touchdown that makes it a 10-point game. I couldn't believe. Actually, let me back up. I'm not surprised at all. I'm not surprised at all. Here's the headline from Michael David Smith of Pro Football Talk. Sean Payton's late punt decision set up Chargers game-clinching touchdown drive. And the headline is, Broncos coach Sean Payton made a shocking decision to punt with 4:35 remaining in the fourth quarter while trailing 27-24 facing a 4th and 6 on the 49-yard line on Thursday night. It didn't go well for his team. Wait a second, jabroni. I don't know Michael David Smith. I know he's been around for a long time. Maybe I shouldn't call him a jabroni. What the hell is that? It's not a shocking decision. Am I missing something here, Matt, before I continue to go on and defend Sean Payton and defend sanity and common sense?
I got to be honest. I think that everyone else is missing something because the whole we've been dealing with Bo Nix as the Rookie of the Year conversation. Obviously, having Jaden here, a lot of Twitter's like, well, no, it's going to be Bo Nix. Bo Nix has been reliant on his defense scoring defensive touchdowns. So given that that has been a pick sixes have been a staple of their team, wouldn't you, if you're not doing anything, if you lose it, then they're at midfield. They only have to go a couple yards to get a field goal. It's no longer a field goal to tie. In your mind, we can pin them deep and wait for our defense to do what it's done all year, get a quick turnover, and then be able to either tie or win the game right then and there. I think that makes so much sense if you look at the actual season. Don't look at just the statistics for that game. Look at the season. That's an eye test right there.
Not only that, but the opponent that you're facing, and I understand the Chargers were pretty good in the second half coming from behind. I got it. I understand your defense was reeling a little bit. But you make them go 90. I mean, when you make that decision, you hope that they have to go 90, 91, 92, 93, whatever it might be. Even better if it's 96, 97. But it turned out to be 90, right? You got a good punter. You think, hey, man, we're going to punt. Instead of 4th and 6, it's not 4th and 1. If it was 4th and 1, it's a different argument. Just like last week, on the final Commanders drive, when Dan Quinn goes for it on 4th and 1 from his own 45, normally I hate going for it on 4th down and negative in your own or negative territory. But it was 4th and 1.
I mean, we had the conversation.
It was 4th and 1.
At the 36-yard line, where are you comfortable going for it versus kicking it? And we said 4th and 2. That's what you and Linnell came to, was 4th and 2. 4th and 3 makes you feel a little queasy. So when it's 4th and 6 and you're outside of field goal range, what gives you the idea that you're that good that, oh yeah, 6 yards is nothing?
Yeah. So Sean Payton said, when asked about it after the game, right, because again, the Chargers go on this long drive, 6 plays, 90 yards, as we mentioned, make it 34-24, and essentially the game. He's asked why he punted. He said, quote, the timeouts, all the percentages, field position, we just didn't get them stopped. And he's absolutely right.
It's a game.
Their defense did a horse bleep job of stopping the Chargers. The Chargers are not the greatest show on turf, for God's sakes. They're not Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, for the love of humanity. They're not Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions.
Jared Goff?
Goff. So I take you again to this. It's incorporated in the story, okay? I don't follow the NFL fourth down bot, but it is a thing that stupid members of the media actually follow. It's at NFL4th with the number 4, th.com, NFL fourth down bot. And they give you the situation. The recommendation is very strong in capital bold letters to go for it. At plus 5.2 WP, I think that's win percentage. That might be something else.
That's win percentage.
I think that's win percentage, right? So the actual play, again, is a 41-yard punt, downs the Chargers at the 10, what have you.
Here's my issue with that 5%, or I'll let you finish. And then I'll give you my issue.
Here's just what I wanted to add. The win percentage in raw numbers, if you went for it, is 26%.
Okay.
Meaning the Broncos, if they went for it, they would analytically win 26%, the game 26% of the time. And that there was a success percentage of 39. But by punting, it was a 21% win percentage, with no success percent rate. And again, some of this is tied in with the ESPN analytics and Ben Baldwin and all these people that, whatever. Again, I understand we are living in a different world in the NFL, and it's a much, much, much more aggressive fourth down community. I got it. But when does aggressive become reckless?
And I think that's where my question goes for you, because the win rate apparently goes up 5% if you go for it, but that's assuming that you get it.
That you get it, yes.
If you don't get it, how far does your win rate drop because you just gave them the ball? And we saw what they did with 90 yards.
Yeah.
You gave them the ball on your own 48-yard. Because it feels
I guess it goes down to 21%, which is the punt. I would assume the difference is what they're saying, 5%. Because the punt is 21, the go for it is 26. So it drops, theoretically, to 21%.
But I guess my point is, if you only have a 30% chance of completing the play, that 30%, if you don't, so 70% chance you do not complete the play.
Right.
They get it back at that point. I don't feel like the 26% win chance going for it accounts for the fact that the moment that you lose the ball there, the game is over. You have lost the game. Because that's one of those things that if the Chargers get the ball at Denver's 48-yard line,
right,
they only have to go a little bit before they get a field goal, and they can run out the clock. They have to use their timeouts. They don't get them back after the two-minute warning when they get the ball back, assuming that they do get the ball back. Yep. Like, that's the issue. There's so many things that can be done if you fail, and that's such a high moment that the options are either you fail and the game is over, or you continue to play and you rely on your team to do what it needs to do while the game is still in reach.
Yeah, I mean, all of these formulas and whatever are never ever. And listen, I love my guy Grant Paulson. Okay, but he is built from this cloth as well. Nobody ever considers the downside. Nobody ever considers the downside. Like, to your point, if you don't make fourth and six, and what happens if you get sacked on fourth and sixth? Which can happen. Now you're giving the ball, instead of at your own 49, to Matt's point, you're giving the ball, I don't know, at the 45. At the Denver 45, at the Denver 43, at the Denver 41, whatever the computation is that smart? Was that worth the upside? Here's why, in addition to the absolute reckless tomfoolery of media coverage, here's why we're bringing this up. We might be facing a situation much more frequently than you're expecting and thinking about on Sunday when the Commanders take on the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll explain next, along with all of this. And your thoughts on this. If you were watching the game, did you think Sean Payton was nuts? Or did you think, oh my gosh, that makes sense, and his defense failed him? Which is exactly how you should be thinking, but you're entitled to think like a number knucklehead if you want. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. And again, I promise we're going to tie this in to what Dan Quinn is dealing with on Sunday in case you missed part of that conversation early in the week. But it's going to be a big, big, big factor, I believe, this Sunday on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. I'm being told this is the only Christmas music we can play today. Matty Ice has been working on trying to unlock the system since I asked him at about 12:30. Hey, you know, I'm only doing Friday and Monday. I'm taking Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday off. So, you know, we have music-themed days. Feel Good Football Friday, feel good music, right? And Motown Monday. I said, maybe we should scratch that and play Christmas music. And he's like, all right, I'll see what I could do. And then he keeps coming in before the show and during the show, and he's like, yeah, I'm working on it. It's locked. It's behind a paywall. It's behind a system. All this stuff. I'm going to check with Drab.
And I'm having me upgrade my membership to Platinum in order to get all of the Christmas song DLC.
Okay. So explain this in layman's terms. It's behind a paywall? Is that the deal?
No.
Even though we have a complete system that we could play like any song in America?
We have a library that just isn't connected to this studio. Much like how I used to have to play instrumentals because we didn't have access to all the songs. We now have access to the songs, but we don't have access to the Christmas songs because that's in a separate catalog. Otherwise, we'd be inundated with Christmas music. So now I got to try and get into those.
Okay. So this might be, It might not be the end, but for now, it's that's the only Christmas song we can play.
That's the deeper context. Take a shot.
And that was what? Run DMC, right? Is that what that was?
Oh, yeah.
How?
Run DMC, Christmas in Hollis.
I'm just trying to figure out how that's the one song we can play. Where's Richmond John when we need him? Oh, he was playing for the Junks this morning at their Christmas Get Drunk show at MGM. Speaking of that, AWOD was there. He's hanging out with the boys. He's a good pal of ours, and he's on the radio station tomorrow morning, and I think I'll be on with him at 10, I think. And he'll join us about an hour from now. But just wrapping up this part of the conversation, again, Sean Payton getting fried by some in the media for not going for it on 4th and 6 from their own 49. The stupid 4th down bot, which again has played 0 downs of football, said they should have gone for it. And everybody's now up in arms, and now Sean Payton has to fend off questions of, like, how dare you? Why would you punt the ball away on 4th and 6? So it brings us to, quickly, get this in, the situation with Dan Quinn. So Linnell and I had a debate the other day where I brought it up, and he didn't really buy into it. I think it's a major problem. I think it's a major issue on Sunday. And I think it might prevent this team from winning. Kevin Sheehan, Coach Sheehan, picked the Commanders to win. We'll have our official pick later. Everybody's worried about, the offense against the Eagles' defensive line and Zach Bond and Quinyon Mitchell. And for good reason. Everybody's worried about the defense against Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. And for good reason. And nobody except for your boy, has even uttered a concern, 1 ounce of a concern, about the place-kicking situation, which has been dreadful the last couple of weeks. Dreadful. Now, maybe it'll be great on Sunday, and I'll look like a fool. But it's been dreadful. And I'm telling you, if Dan Quinn is faced with a similar situation, now, again, you can't kick a field goal when you're at midfield. So in this case, it would be go for it on 4th and 6, or it would be punt. There's only two choices. But let's just say if he was 12 yards closer. So instead of at your own 49, you're at the Eagles 38. And it's, at that point, a 55-yard field goal, or it's a punt, or it's go for it on 4th and 6. In that particular case, where a 55-yard field goal might be the normal call, I would say no. And I would not go for it either, because your chances of converting on a 4th and 6 have got to be, against that defense, 10%, 12% maybe. I would punt. Now, again, down and distance matters in all of these decisions. If it's the same exact situation, which it's unlikely to be, I obviously would say punt, 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 punt. When you have Tressway, when you have a pretty good coverage unit, it makes sense. It's smart. Make somebody drive 90 instead of, as we were talking about, 45 or 50 or whatever the case might be. But even if we're closer, say 12 yards closer, I would not trust this place-kicking situation at all, period. We'll do more on this on the other side. We'll get into how do you attack the Eagles? How do you attack the Eagles? How do you shock the world and win a game against a team that's won 10 in a row? And right now, not only the hottest, but could be, shortly, the number one team in the NFC. And an argument could be made, ultimately, when it's all said and done, the number one team in the NFL. First, we do a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so the Commanders have wrapped up practice for the week and for the Philadelphia Eagles, and no Jonathan Allen this Sunday. As expected, even though he was wearing a regular contact jersey today, he's been ruled out. Has Allen by Dan Quinn through reporters, and he will not play. We'll see about everybody else when we get the official injury report. But again, that's the reported news. We'll see if any of that changes in the next coming couple of hours. Meanwhile, the Dolphins will apparently be without Jalen Waddle on Sunday against San Francisco due to a knee injury. Thursday night football, as we mentioned, the Denver Broncos blowing one and losing to the Los Angeles Chargers and Jim Harbaugh as we opened up the show. The Capitals are home tonight after two road losses in a row, taking on the high-flying Carolina Hurricanes at Capital One Arena, 6:45. You can hear all the action over on 106.7 The Fan and, of course, on the Odyssey app. The Wizards with a win last night against the Charlotte Hornets. And we'll have something on the Hornets a little bit later on in the show. Meanwhile, over here on the Team 980 tonight, after Craig Hoffman, you'll have... Yeah, we'll get it for you in a sec. We'll bring it to you next time because computer is freezing up, and that's what's trending. It's not exactly Christmas music or Feel Good Friday music, but it's Zach Brown Band, and that always makes me happy. Colder weather is awesome. One of my favorites. And if it's not one of yours, I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're doing. It's a great song. Love it. Every time I see Zach Brown Band in person, I don't know. I'm weird. I get very emotional. Song makes me, I don't know, for whatever reason, get a little misty-eyed. How about this from Command Land? We told you during the trending alert that Jonathan Allen will not play on Sunday. He's the only player for right now that the Commanders are ruling out, which I think is a good sign. That doesn't mean Zach Ertz and Jeremy Chinn are going to play, but it's a good sign that they've been out there working, and I would guess at least one of those two are going to play, and it would really help if you can get both. But Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, according to Ben Standig, walking around the training facility wearing T-shirts highlighting Doug Williams' career, which is great. We've seen Jaden Daniels with a close relationship with Doug Williams. It doesn't mean anything, but this team thinks of a lot of different interesting motivational ways to honor the past, to bring in the legends, if you will. And Doug works in the building, right? So that Doug's around every day. But to throw back an homage to the past, and according to, again, Standig, Dan Quinn was, you know, basically doing a little bit of Ric Flair wooage about Sunday's game against the Eagles and basically saying, if you want to be a contender, you have to beat some heavy hitters. I don't know if that's anything motivational, but listen, the message that they're trying to send to their guys is everyone around the country and maybe even here in the DMV is counting you out, or most people are. Oh, they've won 10 in a row. Oh, they beat you handily in the first matchup. Oh, Saquon ran right through you. Oh, this, oh, that. Completely different game. Completely different week, completely different scenario. Nothing that really happened in the first game matters. Nothing that has happened the previous, this is week 16. Nothing that has happened over the last 15 weeks really matters. Every game is its own entity, is its own different, like, matter. Like, there are people that sit here and say they can't win because there's no evidence of anything that has happened over the last 15 weeks that would tell you that they can win. With the exception of, again, that's why you play the bleeping games. Every game is different. Now, should you expect the Commanders to win? No, I wouldn't expect the Commanders to win. Can you hope? Should you hope? Yes. But the notion that because Philadelphia is three games better in the overall records and is riding a 10-game winning streak and beat you on a short week, Thursday night football, a couple of weeks ago in Philadelphia when you were pretty banged up coming into that game and at the end of a long, long stretch. The notion that you can't win a game on Sunday against the Eagles is absurd. Again, you can think they won't. You can pick against them. I understand that. I got it. I understand it. But the notion that you should run around believing that they have no chance or very little chance or next to no chance or whatever is absurd. And if you think, like, in that locker room and that building that they're showing up 1 o'clock on Sunday thinking they have no chance or very little chance, you're crazy. That's why we tied in, like, what happened when we played the audio yesterday about Brian Robinson on the Junkies earlier this week saying, we think we're better than them. Like, they actually believe that. Whether it turns out to be true or not, totally different story. Now, I would also say this. In order for them to win this game, a couple of things are going to have to happen. And that is, they're going to have to play either turnover-free football or at max one turnover. They're going to have to get two or more turnovers, takeaways. They're going to have to run the football. And presumably, it would be to the edges, away from Jordan Davis and away from, what's his name? Jalen Carter. It would have to be, presumably, tosses, pitch, sweep, end around, not end around as much as like jet sweep reverses, jet sweep handoffs, little pop passes, that type of thing. If you just line up and say, hat on a hat and man on a man, and basically want to get into a car crash, probably not the smartest idea when you got those two guys in the middle. Even with Tyler Biadasz back in the fold. Remember, he missed last week. So to me, they're going to have to do a couple of those things, and there's more that we'll get to, just as a basic kind of like premise. But then the other part, as we were kind of talking about, is if Dan Quinn is facing, let's just call it again, a 4th-and-3 or less inside the Philadelphia, say between the Philadelphia 30 and let's call it the 37. Because anything outside of that obviously is not field goal territory and should never be considered field goal territory with these guys. But say it's between the Philadelphia 30 and the, let's just say, let's back it up. The Philadelphia 27 and the Philadelphia 37, okay? Which the 27 would make it, what, a 45-yard field goal with the spot and so on and so forth, right? And a 37-yarder would be on the outer edge. That would be like a 54-and-a-half, 55-yard field goal, depending on exactly the spot. Dan Quinn should absolutely go for that in every scenario. He should not, they should not trust either one of these place kickers. Zane Gonzalez looks like he's going to be the guy. They should not trust them at all, period. I will be disappointed, very frustrated, if we come in here on Monday and face a situation where they thought, hey, you know what? Lining up for a field goal on 4th and 3 at the Philadelphia 35. And, you know, again, by the time you move the ball back, it's either between a 52 or 53, depending on the spot, yard field goal. And we thought that was the better option than 4th and 3. No, 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 it's not. I have zero faith in these place kickers. If I didn't have to use them at all, I would not use them at all. Now, I'm being reasonable in saying, okay, if you score a touchdown and make it 7-0, or 7, if you give up a touchdown and then you score a touchdown at 7-6, I understand you have kind of, I mean, you could go for a 2-point conversion if you really wanted to, but that's got its own issues as well. I understand you got to kick an extra point. You just got to cover your eyes and hope and pray. But man, I'm telling you, in a strategic sense, and please, everybody, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm trying to think ahead. I'm trying to do what nobody else does. And I'm trying to think of a scenario that we're all going to be talking about on, or that we could all be talking about on Monday, that we covered on this show on Friday and in between. Dan Quinn needs to be uber aggressive in this game, not because he thinks his defense can't stop the high-powered Eagles offense. That might be part of it. Not because he needs to score 33, 35, 37 points, whatever it might be, to try and win this game. Again, that could be a part of it. It's because he should not, under any circumstances, be able to trust or should not trust his place kicker. There should be very, very little faith. Again, if it's a chip shot field goal, 26, 27 yards, and it's 4th and 5, of course. But if it's 4th and 2 and you're at the 9-yard line, go for it. Go for it. Don't trust the place kickers or kicker. And I presume, again, it'll be Zane Gonzalez over Greg Joseph. I presume that. Don't trust them at all, period. At all. And again, it's not the exact same situation that that Peyton faced last night. Again, that's a little bit outlandish. That was really a two-way decision. But if you have a two-way decision in a different context, meaning kick the field goal or go for it, and it's not 4th and 5, 4th and 6, which is very low chance, if we're talking 4th and 1, 4th and 2, 4th and 3, go for it. Even if mathematically and in years past and even this year with Austin Seibert and maybe even Zane Gonzalez early, even if it would make more sense perhaps to kick the field goal overall, you should have no level of trust. Zero. No level of trust. All right. We'll get to your calls on the other side. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Just had a lot to say out of the chute here. Again, trying to tie in some of what Sean Payton was facing last night. Again, different situation, but it's very, very, very real that we could come in Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, around the water cooler, on this show, and be facing a very similar situation to what I just outlined. And maybe it goes right, maybe it goes wrong, and either way, we should react appropriately. Every decision is different. Every decision has its own layers. But I'm telling you, I strongly believe this will be a big part of this game one way or the other on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. You unlocked the code?
I did it.
Wow. Give that man some applause. We actually have Christmas music. Atta boy, Matty.
Woo!
I mean, not that Run DMC wasn't Christmas music, but you get the point. Like, there's a little bit of a difference. There's a little bit of a difference between this and that.
I will say there's a lot of kind of silly Christmas songs that are in the system. So, Given that I'm here until Wednesday, be prepared.
Well, I'm only here until Monday, but I'm sure you'll find a way to squeeze it in. Let's get to Lou, who's been patiently waiting the last, while. Lou, sorry, it's just been a long last couple of days. How are you?
Chris, man, I'm good. Hold on, let me turn this down real quick. Can you hear me, Chris?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, now, I've been holding since, I guess, yesterday, man. You guys I don't know, man. I mean, look, man, what I took off from you guys yesterday is, like, you guys don't have any confidence on this team going out there playing 60 minutes football, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, because they don't play, they haven't played a 60-minute game yet.
Right, but Chris,
which is really hard to do, which is really hard. I'm asking for good football for 60 minutes. Not great, good.
But where is the confidence level when it comes to the other dude, man? I mean, he just be talking nonsense. I mean, literally no confidence whatsoever. He said they're going to go out there, get their ass,
well,
whatever he was talking about.
Yeah, I can't speak for him. He's crazy. So
that's why I was on hold for 2.5 hours, because I was going to get on the radio and kind of sit him down real.
I may have missed you. We got a lot going on. I got to babysit for a couple hours a day. You know, when I got to babysit, I mean, it's like romper room around here, you know?
Well, that's your show, man. No complaints. I just wish I would have just got on the radio real quick and kind of like give you my little 2 cents real quick.
Go now. Instead of complaining about yesterday, go now, brother.
Nah, you know how I feel, Chris. I believe in this team. I believe in what Brian Robertson said. If we could go back to the first game when we played the Eagles, right? We had that game. We was better than the Eagles. We had the game. I mean, we lost the game because of that big little dump off to the running back, Saquon, and 35 couldn't make the tackle, and that was it. They broke down right there and then, and it was over. We couldn't, you know, try to make a comeback, but we couldn't. So it is what it is. I believe in what BR is saying. We better than them, even though they got some, you know, talented players on their team. And I don't see why we can't go out there and beat these. I mean, they beatable. We're not, like, let Jalen beat you with his arm, okay? If we do that and put the pressure on him, and then I think we could come out with a victory on Monday, and we'll have a good week. So I believe in this team, man. I just wish everybody have some kind of confidence in this team every time when they go out there on Sunday. I get it. They're not a complete team. I get with the lack, you know, the kicking, you know, that you complain about. I get all that. But, you know, give them, you know, this is like 9-5, man. They haven't been like this since 1992. So I just wish that, you know, the big boy, he kind of understand and kind of give him a little break, man. Give him credit, man. They've accomplished, no coaches have accomplished in the past whatever year since Joe Gibbs. They have done a wonderful job in the first year. So I just wish people kind of calm down and just ride the wave, man. Stop complaining. We know they're not a complete team. They're going to be – come next season, free agent, draft, which we're going to add up some pieces, and then – you can complain about it if you don't like it. We go out there and lose.
All right, that's fine, games. But that's all next year. But for this week, Lou, I know you're more mad at Linnell, but I sense that you're mad at me. Listen, I've been the one that's weeks been talking about how they had. I think they have an excellent chance of beating the Philadelphia Eagles. I appreciate you. I got to let you run. We're up against the clock. I appreciate you. They've got to do a lot right to win this game. It's not just walk out there, line up man-to-man, hat-to-hat, and all this. No. They got to do a lot right. They got to do a lot better than they did last Sunday. They got to do a lot better than they have been over the last 6 weeks. But can they? You damn skippy they can on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.